service tonight. Let's take our hymn books together, please. Number 67. Hymn number 67. Let's stand as we sing, Praise the Savior, ye who know him. 67. Come and open us in prayer tonight.
Amen. Good to see everybody here tonight. I forgot this morning we have Sarah Alice has a birthday, and it is today. So I wanted to catch that. And also Ray and Lorraine Vogel are celebrating their 24th wedding anniversary tomorrow. A little slice of heaven. Ray said, listen, I've just been praying that the rapture would never happen just so I could just stay down here in this earthly heaven I have with Lorraine. It was so sweet. Nice time there. Yeah. He paid me for that one. Amen. Brother John, if you'd pray for tonight's offering.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. That's what we feel about the church tonight. Be the preacher and the preacher and the offering. May it support the work here on the missionaries around the world. Be in the name of prayer.
Amen.
Cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. God forbid that I should ever let my memory fade. Forever keep the cross in view, for that's where I was saved. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross.
Let's take our hymn books again, please. Hymn number 33. Let's stand as we sing, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Number 33. Let's stand together. Let's sing as unto the Lord tonight. Some Anglican thing. I don't know where that came from. Number try 45. How many of us are in here? All right, that's better. Number 45. How many of you know that too? All right, let's sing. Be seated. More tonight, number 28. This is my Father's world. Let's stand as the choir joins us in our seats. Hymn number 28.
Worthless now compared to this. knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your suffering, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. You're my all, you're the...
Thank you. I want to remind you that our college students will be returning back to school real soon. We need to be in prayer for them, and so I want to encourage you to take some time and pray for each one of them. And I'm just going to go around the room very quickly and kind of get some times here. Paul, when are you going back? September 2nd. That's the day you fly back, or you start school that day? You fly back. Well, you guys start late out there. All right. So Paul's going to be preaching for us one more time before he goes back a week from Wednesday. He doesn't even know it yet. His dad and I just decided he would do that. So a week from Wednesday night, we'll look forward to hearing from Brother Paul. I know Brad Vogel will be here with us next Sunday night, but then he's leaving right away. Is that correct? He's coming just back for a visit. I'm looking at Mr. Ray back there. He leaves on the Wednesday, so that would be the 27th. So you'll get a chance to say goodbye to Brad next Sunday night. He'll be popping in for a visit when the Coughlushes are here, and then he'll be leaving later that week. Leah, when do you go back? Are you going back with your brother? The 27th as well. So you have one more Sunday with us. Daniel. What?
Eight.
The guy goes to one of the most prestigious universities in all of Canada.
Eight.
Amen. September the 8th. You guys start real late as well then. All right. Okay. Those smart guys don't need as much school, I guess. I don't know. So, yeah. Good night. And then Patrick Windebank's in our TV room, and we'll get a time from him. He'll be going back real soon, too. Is there anybody else that's in, going to call? Maybe we've got some new ones starting this year. Any new ones starting? Kristen, are you going this year? Casey's right, going to Pensacola. When do you leave, Casey? The 28th of August. All right, so you're just in another week or so. All right, another 11 days. All right, so be in prayer for all of our college students. I know that they would appreciate that. Don't forget, next Sunday night we have the Coughlushes in. And I was told this a long time ago. Pastor Walsh said this. He says, people don't like the Coughlushes. They love the Coughlushes. And so I know that they're a family that's dear to your heart, and you'll look forward to them. We're going to put that little box out in there. If you'd like to put a greeting card in there, write a note to them to encourage them. If you'd like to give them a little gift, please feel free to do that. We're going to be a blessing to them and to their church as well. But if you would like to do something for them, go ahead and do that, and let's encourage this family. We're so thankful for their time that they spent here at Bethel. I know they impacted a lot of young people and impacted you as well, and we appreciate the Coughlushes so much. I've asked the quartet to come and sing again that sang this morning. I don't know if they have a name or not, but I just love that song, Jesus Saves, and we're going to have them sing that again tonight before the message. Chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 11. We should mention also, the Academy starts on September the 2nd, just a couple weeks away. I know our kids are excited about that. School is back. How many of you folks are glad you're not going back to school? Amen. I said 20 years ago, I think one day I'd like to get work towards my master's degree. That's been 20 years. Nobody wants to go back to school. You've been out for a little while. But pray for our young people as they start. Tomorrow the teachers are back and working on orientation already. And so things are already moving forward. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. I want to preach a message tonight called The Liberal Christian. The Liberal Christian or the Liberal Soul. Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verse 24 with me tonight.
There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful tonight that we are called your children. We're thankful for all the privileges that comes from being adopted and born into the family of God. Father, we pray that you'd help us now as we look at this topic tonight from Proverbs 11. May the Spirit of God teach us your word. And Father, help us tonight. I surrender to you and ask that you'd fill me. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm led to understand that over the passing of time, a lot of words have changed their meaning. If I were to say to you, well, you know, Calvin, he's a nice guy. Do you know that 400 years ago, that was a terrible insult? The word nice was a very bad thing. It didn't mean, I remember going to college and somebody would say, well, that's a sweet car. Or that's a bad looking suit. Well, what's that mean? Bad to me, man, he's not dressed too well. But bad when I was in college, that was a good thing. And words seem to change their meaning over time. And, you know, one of those words that has changed its meaning is the word liberal. The Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat. Well, the word fat doesn't have a real good connotation anymore either. But let me tell you this, thin may be in, but fat is where it's at, baby. The word liberal has taken a beating. When we think of the word liberal, we automatically think of politics, don't we? We think whether or not they're labeled as a liberal party, which we do have a liberal party in Canada, and I'm not here to tear apart politics or dissect what they believe tonight, but we automatically think of politics and somebody being liberal. Liberal in their stand, liberal in their policies, and liberal in their platform. And that's immediately what our minds go to. When we think of liberal in a religious sense, what do our minds go to? We think of the dark stage and the smoke, and we think of the drum set and the guitars and the rock music, and we think of the preacher coming out in ripped jeans and a t-shirt and preaching from some modern version of the Bible. That's automatically what we think when we think of a liberal church. Maybe your mind goes to something maybe that's more, rather than liberal in practice, it's more liberal theologically. And today we have the liberal churches that are liberal theologically, and that we were driving the other day and we saw a church and had a little rainbow flag above the sign and said, all are welcome. Well, we know what that means in this day and age, don't we? They're liberal theologically, and they've embraced the homosexual movement. And listen, by the way, I think that when that sin is no different than any other sin. That sin sends people to hell. But liars shall go to hell too. And we ought to treat them with love and try to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to be very careful how we accept them and assimilate that sin. Because it's been minimized so much that it's no longer sin in their eyes. It's just a matter of, well, this is the way God has made me, and God loves me, and God hasn't changed me, so it must be okay. No, that's contrary to God's word. That's just like saying, well, I'm a liar, and God has made me a liar, and it's okay, so I'll just keep lying, and God's okay with that. No, it's not okay. I'm a murderer. I kill people, and so that's what is in my nature. I was made that way. God hasn't taken away that desire from my heart, and therefore it must be okay. That is faulty reasoning. Sin is because of our fleshly, carnal nature, and because we are prone to sin. And so don't let that fall. Don't fall for that nonsense. But that's what we think of when we think of the word liberal. But it is interesting to note that the Bible never uses the word liberal in that sense. In the Bible, the word liberal is a good thing. The Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat. Years ago, we had a missionary with us in Hamilton. His name was Kevin Harris. And Brother Kevin and his family are missionaries in Australia. As a matter of fact, he grew up in Australia. His parents were missionaries there as well. And he now pastors a church in Wollongong, Australia. He told me this. He goes, in Australia, when we vote for the Liberal Party. He says, that's a good thing in Australia. Liberal means generous. Liberal means loving. It means giving. And we are to be liberal in these things. And the Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 32. Hold your finger in Proverbs 11 and turn to Isaiah chapter 32. I want to read a passage here to you tonight. Isaiah chapter 32. Are you glad you're saved? Amen. I just want to see if you're still awake. Isaiah chapter 32. Now look at verse 5. The vile person shall be no more called liberal. When I think of the word liberal, I think the opposite of the word liberal is conservative, don't you? We think about somebody that's liberal theologically, and we think, well, we better go to the other side and be conservative theologically. We think about somebody who's liberal politically and then say, well, you know what, I kind of support those that are conservative politically. The opposite of liberal is not conservative. The opposite of liberal is vile. The Bible says the vile shall no more be called liberal, and nor the churl said to be bountiful, for the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. Now look what it says in verse 8. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. We're going to come back to that verse in a few moments, but I want you to notice, suffice to say, that the opposite of liberal is not what we think of conservative. The Bible's definition is a vile person is no longer liberal, no longer generous, no longer caring or loving. I want to give you three things tonight. We won't take a lot of time, but I want you to notice, first of all, back in Proverbs chapter 11, if you've kept your finger there, turn back there to verse 25. First of all, I want you to notice the prosperity of the liberal soul. The prosperity of the liberal soul. The Bible says this, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Years ago, I just told you about a fellow by the name of Kevin Harris. He's a missionary to Wollongong, Australia. Kevin has a brother-in-law as well. His name is Lawrence Lance. He married Kevin's sister. And Lawrence is a missionary in Uganda, East Africa. When I first met Lawrence, I was actually at his ordination service when I was on vacation. I was at Valley Forge Baptist Temple just passing through on vacation. By the way, it's good to go to church when you're on vacation, amen? And so we stopped in a church, and Pastor Wendell asked me if I'd come to the ordination on Saturday. I said, I'd be glad to. We went. Brother Lance was ordained, and about a year later, he called and said, I'm going to Uganda. I'd like to come by your church. And so he came. He told me this about Uganda. And you need to understand, Lawrence Lance is about 100 pounds soaking wet. He is shockingly skinny, real thin. And he said this, he said, you know, he says, I was concerned about the culture of Uganda, and I was researching the culture, and I wanted to know more about it. And I talked to John Baird, who was the East African coordinator, and asked him about some of the culture. And he said, well, he says, you're really going to do well there as far as the size of your body and your body type. And he said, what do you mean? And he thought maybe because of the climate, it's so hot, it's better to be thin, and maybe you wouldn't get so overheated and such. And he said in Uganda, he says, when you are skinny like that, they don't think you have anything. He says, they think you're poor. He says, what they do, he says, they won't bother you. He says, in some countries, he says, they're knocking on the missionary's door all the time saying, I need money, I need food. And he said, they're not going to bother you like that. He says, on the other hand, he says, if somebody's overweight, he says, they think that they're prosperous, that God has blessed them with much, and they've got a lot of food, and they've got a lot of money, and so they're big. Brother Lance looked at me, and he says, you could be king of Uganda. I said, buddy, you're not getting support. But he was just joking with me. We'd become friends, and I was 100 pounds heavier. And he said, you could be king. He says, you know, the kings of Uganda, he says, they will go from country to country to find the largest wife they can find, because that's a sign of prosperity. He says, you want their people to think that they're rich and powerful. So they find the largest wife that they can find. That's just their culture there. When I was in Ghana, West Africa, we got into a taxi. Now, some of you have met my friend Jim Arnold. He's preached here. And you got to remember, here's Al Fury, and I was 100 pounds heavier than I am now. And Jim Arnold was bigger than me. And we got back into the back of this taxi cab. Now, these taxi cabs are these little skinny Toyota Echoes. You know what I mean? They're the ones like you put your feet out to stop them when you need brakes, that kind of deal. Just tiny little things. A couple times we had to stop and wind the rubber band. It was that one of those, you know. So this little car, and it goes up and down the streets, you know, and we'd been there a couple weeks, and we understood how much it would cost us 100 CDs. And so what we did is every day, and you understand, you're 4 degrees north of the equator. It is hot. And at the end of the day, we would eat, literally, we would eat 4 meals a day. And not because we were trying to engorge ourselves, but because you just sweat so much and you get so hot, you get hungry over and over again. And so we would eat a breakfast, we would eat about 11 o'clock in the morning, we'd eat again at 4 in the afternoon, about 9 o'clock at night, we were starving because you just lose so much. And so we would have, at the end of the day, at the end of the workday, we'd have Pastor Boma drop us at the restaurant, and we'd say, we'll grab, and we'd just have a snack and get us through the night, and then we'll get a taxi back, and it was 100 CDs. We did this every day for a couple weeks. 100 CDs at that time, now their currency has changed now, they've redone how they convert it all, but 100 CDs was 93 cents U.S. That's all it was for the taxi ride. From the restaurant back to the motel. They did not have a meter. They could charge you whatever they wanted. But primarily, and almost every single day, they'd say, 100 CDs, 100 CDs, 100 CDs. And so we would get in the car, and we got to the point where we just knew it was 100 CDs, so we'd pull out 100 CDs, which was just one bill, like a dollar bill, and we would give them 100 CDs. Well, this one day, we got in, Brother Arnold got in, and I got in, and of course, as big as we were, and we pulled back into the where we were staying at the mission there, and we pulled out 100 CDs, and we gave it to the man. And he says, wait a minute, you men are fat men. He says, I need more money. And we said, what do you mean? You're going to call us fat and and you expect us to pay you more? We've done this ride every day for 2 weeks. We know that it is 100 CDs for this ride. And we didn't take it. We just laughed, you know. We thought it was funny. But he says, no, you are fat. And he says, but I don't mean that as an insult. That's a compliment. He says, you are fat men. God has blessed you. You are prosperous. Well, after that, we gave him another 100 CDs. I mean, to us, it's 93 cents. To them, it's a day's wages. And we gave them the other 100 CDs. But you know, in most cultures, that word fat reflects prosperous. Now, we have come a long way, and we understand that is maybe not the healthiest situation. But you know what the Scripture says? It does not say that the body will be made fat, but that the soul will be made fat. Now think about that with the different cultures of our world. The Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat. You shall be made prosperous. God will bless you for your prosperity. Look at the rest of the verse. This is verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. In other words, you worry about others and God will take care of you. God will supply your need. Look back in verse 24. Listen, we need to understand something tonight. We need to get this through our heads. God's economy is not the same as our economy. God does not work as a man works. The Bible says here in verse 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Well, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Just spread out your wealth and try to be a help and a blessing to others, and yet you're going to increase? Because that's God's economy. The liberal soul shall be made fat, prosperous. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. How many of you say, I'm never going to Uganda or West Africa if they're going to call me fat? Luke chapter 6. He wasn't telling me anything I didn't already know. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Now, I want you to jump down. We're going to read that passage in just a minute. Jump down to verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. That's God's economy. God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Be liberal, be generous, be loving, be kind, and give. Now, wait a minute now. He said, preacher, you're just preaching about money. I haven't said a word about money. I haven't said a word about money. We're going to read a scripture in just a minute. I want you to notice that this applies to almost every virtue of the Christian life. We are to give and let God give it back to us. You want people to be kind to you? You be kind to them. If a man's going to have friends, he's to show himself what? Friendly. You reap and you sow. It's a theme throughout Scripture. We are to be liberal in our giving, not just about finances, but about every Christian virtue, and God will take care of you. He says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's bountiful. God gives us back abundant life. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let me ask you this, is God a debtor to anybody? Is God going to leave his debts unpaid? God has made a promise that if you sow, you'll reap. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Then he says, therefore, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's be a blessing to one another and see how God blesses us. The tendency of this world today is let's try to grab as much as we can and hold on to it as tightly as we can. God's economy is very different. He says, I want you to sow that. I want you to be a blessing to others. I want you to be a help to somebody in need. Several years ago, I've told you a couple times how when Brendan was about 3 years old, we were praying for a van. We had Brendan, we had Emily, and we had Austin was just born. And we had to get three car seats on the back seat of our Pontiac 6000. You couldn't even close the doors. So we slammed the one and run around the other side and slammed the other. And sometimes the other door would pop open when we did that. So we'd slam them both shut. We both have to slam them shut, lock them real quick, and make sure they didn't pop. And so that's what we did. So we started praying for a van. And I told you about how Brendan said, I believe God's going to give us a blue van. And sure enough, God gave us a blue van. But I never told you the whole story. God gave us a van. It needed a little bit of work done. The rocker panels had been rusted a little bit. And my friend said, well, I can put new rocker panels on there for you. And you'll have to go and get it painted after. But I can put the new rocker panels on. The van only had 140,000 kilometers on it. It ran real good. The air conditioning blew cold. Everything ran good. The only thing it needed to safety was the emergency brake cable needed to be replaced. And that was it. And God just gave it to us. What I didn't tell you was there was a fellow in the church that had a burden. And he came to me, he says, Pastor, he says, I understand somebody gave you a van. I said, yeah. I said, isn't that great? He says, well, he says, I've been burdened. He says, I've been saving money to buy you a van. He says, I've saved up about $7,000. So I want to go purchase you a van. And he says, I don't know what to do now that God's given me a van. He says, I guess you need to make a choice. He says, you want to use that van or do you want me to buy you a van or what do you want to do? Well, we prayed about it and we decided this. We thought, well, God gave us a van. How can we say no to God? And so I said to him, I said, well, here's the thing. I said, we believe God gave us the van. We've been praying for one. God gave it to us. And I said, I really appreciate what you're doing and whatever you want to do is up to you. He said, tell you what, we'll do this. He says, your friend's going to put those new rocker panels on. He says, I will have your van painted for you. I'll pay for that. He says, but, he says, I have this $7,000. He says, I don't know what it's going to cost to paint your van. I will give the rest to the church. So he says, I'm just going to give all that money to the church. And he says, the church can just pay for the painting when it's done. And I got thinking, isn't that how God works? There was a triple blessing there. I got blessed because I got a van and somebody took care of the cost of painting it and getting it on the road for me. That man got a blessing because he'd been wanting to do something for the Lord and he gave $7,000 to the church. And God got $7,000 to be used in the ministry. That's how God works. He said, I don't understand that. I can't figure out God's economy. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. God blessed that family and used them. When we first moved to Stony Creek, we were only there about a month and they said, would you house sit for us? We're going on vacation. And I said, sure, we'll house sit for you. We did not know it was in Hamilton Housing. We were scared to death. It was a rough neighborhood. As a matter of fact, one day we had come home and we got some groceries and I was going to work at 3 o'clock and we were taking the groceries in and somehow, I don't know how it had happened, either I did it or my wife did it, misplaced the key to the front door. We didn't know how we did it. We got in the house, but then we couldn't find the key. And so I went off to work. That night at 11 o'clock, I came home and from work, or about 11:30, I guess it was, and I knocked on the door because I didn't have the key. And no answer. And I pounded on the front window and no answer. And I went through the backyard and I pounded on the back door and no answer. And I could look through the curtain and I could see Ida on the couch and just her legs 4 feet from that window. And I'm pounding on the window. No answer. I called Pastor Masker and I said, I don't know what to do. She's in there. I said, but all I can think of is our key went missing. What if something's wrong? What if somebody grabbed that key while we were carrying groceries in and they took it out of the door or something? And, you know, now, so I called. He says, you better call the police. I called the police. The fire trucks came. The ambulances came. The police came. We had 3 police cruisers. We had 2 fire trucks. We had an ambulance. And those firemen pulled out that battering ram and they were just about to take that door down. And she opened the door and says, what's going on? She's just fallen asleep and couldn't be raised. But, you know, I wouldn't have thought about it like that if we weren't in the neighborhood we were in. Do you know that in just a few years, God gave that family a home and it was completely paid off in about 7 years because God had blessed them with a job? Just because a fellow says, I want to help. I want to be a blessing. And here he is living in housing himself and saving money to help the preacher get a van and knew that we didn't have a lot of money. Listen, God's a debtor to no man. God rewarded that. Gave them a home. Blessed them. Took care of their finances and their needs. God can take care of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're talking about the prosperity of the liberal soul. Listen, I'm not one of those prosperity gospel preachers. Name it and claim it. I don't believe in that stuff. I believe that God shall supply all our needs according to His riches and glory, but I also believe it's according to His will. I believe God has every right to say no, that He can tell us this is not what's best for you at this time. I believe the scripture that says if we abide in the Lord and His word abideth in us, we can ask what we will and it shall be given unto you. I believe that God supplies our needs, but I also believe that the liberal soul shall be made fat. That doesn't always mean He's going to give you $1 million. That might just mean a blessing. God's going to bless your heart and bless your soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look what the Bible says in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able, look what it says, to make all money abound towards you. Oh no. All grace. I tell you what, when you're going through a struggle, money doesn't matter so much, but grace sure does. When you've been diagnosed with something, money doesn't matter, but grace does. When you're caught in a real mess, money doesn't matter near as much as grace does. He says, I want you to sow bountifully. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You want the translation? The liberal soul shall be made fat. The prosperity of the liberal soul. Let me give you the second thing. The particulars of the liberal soul. Turn to Luke chapter 6. I told you we'd get back to that passage. I want you to look there with me now. Luke chapter 6, the particulars of the liberal soul. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 27. That's where we started before. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good unto them which hate you. Now, I'm going to read several verses, and I want you to understand the conclusion of the matter. The conclusion was verse 38 that we already read. Give, and it shall be given unto you. All right? Now, keep that in your mind. Look at verse 27. Love your enemies. Give, and it shall be given unto you. We give love unto our enemies. You know what happens? I know that you think that everybody loves you. But somebody considers you an enemy, and you want them to love you. Love is different than like. We've all been to family reunions. We love our family, even the ones we don't like. But the Bible says we're to love our enemies. And the conclusion in verse 38 is, give and it shall be given unto you. You want people to love you, you got to love them. Read on, verse 27. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, also offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For ye have loved them which love you, what thank of ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank of ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank of ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall be not judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosoms. The conclusion of all these things, mercy, love, giving, is give it out, and God will give it back. Go ahead and be a liberal soul. The particulars are all listed. What are we to be liberal in? We had to be liberal in mercy. It was funny. 2 years ago, I was asked to preach the first chapel service of the academy. So I preached Ephesians chapter 4. I don't know why I remember that, but I do. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It was 1 year later, last year, and I was asked to preach the first chapel again. And so I got up. I didn't even remember the first time, but I started preaching. Mrs. Baker was there. And I got halfway through the message and I looked at her and I said, did I preach this last year? She says, I think so. But it was just a theme that's what we as Christians ought to be. We ought to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That ought to be the theme in not just our school, but also our church. Love one another. Give and it shall be given unto you. That's the particulars of the liberal soul. Let me give you the last thing tonight. Turn to Isaiah chapter 32. The peace. The peace of the liberal soul. Isaiah chapter 32. We already read the passage, but I want you to read it again for the context. Verse 5. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful, for the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. The liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Liberal, as we've already established, means generous. It means kind. It means giving. So if we substitute the word generous in that verse just for a moment, but the generous devises generous things. In other words, the liberal soul is always looking for how can I help next? How can I be a blessing the next time? He's constantly devising liberal, generous, giving things. That's his heart. But look what the next part says. And by liberal things, generous things, giving things, shall he stand. The word stand means to be established. So that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The world's economy says this: if you want to be established in this life, then you need to put away a good retirement. If you want to be established in this life, you better have investments, you better have security, you better keep everything that you can get. You ought to take care, if you have a vehicle, take care of it as long as you can, because it costs a lot of money to buy a new one. You ought to take care of your furniture, because, boy, to replace that costs. And so try to take care of those things and establish those things, and boy, you'll be fine when you get older. Well, the Bible says we are established by liberal things or generous things or giving things. It seems to me that if we were just giving things away all the time, that how could we possibly be established? How can we have security? Here's the answer. It's in the Scripture. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Look at verse 34. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Look what it says, though. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. We're so busy trying to store up earthly and temporal goods. And the Bible says we are to lay up our treasures where? Above. And how do we do that? By being liberal. I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was a prisoner. Lord, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Being liberal, being generous, being kind. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Turn there. One last passage. Two more passages. Sorry. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The Scripture is saying when we are a help and a blessing to others, God won't forget it. Let me ask you this in summary tonight. Where are you laying up your treasure? What is your concern? And don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you to sell everything you have and go live on a mountaintop somewhere. I understand. Listen, when I get to be 80, if I get to be 80, I want to eat still. Amen. I still want to have a roof over my head. I understand about being responsible. I get that. But let's be careful to obey the Scriptures and being a liberal soul. And let God prosper you. Listen, if you retire at 65 and live to be 85, that's 20 years. But if you lay up your treasures for above, that's eternity that God will bless you. That's an investment in forever. I said this one time somebody got upset with me, but I'm going to say it again anyway. We spend so much money in life insurance. No, I'm not. I have life insurance. I want to make sure that my wife and kids are taken care of if something happens to me. I have life insurance. But you know what life insurance is? Life insurance is me paying so much money every single month so that my wife's next husband can live in the lap of luxury. That's what life insurance is. But when I lay up my treasure above, that's how God blesses me. That's where moth and rust cannot corrupt. That's where thieves cannot break in and steal. That's the true blessing. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Doesn't say where you'll be made fat. Doesn't say it'll be here on earth. But one day you'll open your eyes in the splendor of heaven. Because God has blessed you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're done. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I don't know who that next husband's going to be, but I'm going to haunt him. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit to the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. There's some fancy words there that says, I want you to be aware of how God has placed His grace on these churches. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. Remember we talked about that this morning? They begged us to please take this offering, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. That's the difference. You want to be a liberal soul, you must first give yourself to the Lord. Now read on, I want you to notice. And unto us by the will of God, verse 6, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So Titus was there teaching the churches in Macedonia and helping them. And he says, we're hoping that Titus can bring you along even further and finish this grace in you at the church of Corinth. Therefore, verse 7, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. How is that giving spirit, this spirit of liberality? The churches of Macedonia and Achaia had embarrassed, if you will, the church at Corinth. Titus was there working with them and preaching to them and hoping that they would grow and that they would learn and they'd be more liberal in their giving. They'd promised an offering. They'd never given the offering. But the churches of Macedonia and Achaia, they gave so much. Paul said, I can't take them. They said, please, take it. We want to be a blessing to the saints in Jerusalem. Here's how it happens. See that you abound in this grace. It is something that is cultivated by God. If you were to respond to the message in such a way tonight, say, you know what, I want to be that liberal soul. I want to be made fat. You won't hear that very often, will you? But I want to be the liberal soul. I want to prosper. I want God to bless me. I need the hand of God upon my life. Here's where you start. First of all, give yourself to the Lord, verse 5. And second of all, understand that it is a grace that is cultivated by God. And just simply ask God to make you a liberal soul. Now, here's my experience according to Scripture. The Bible says in James that often we don't have what we want because we pray in such a way that we are consuming it upon our own lusts. But it also says that when we pray in the will of the Father, He gives it. Do you know that it is God's will that you're liberal? The liberal soul shall be made fat. God wants you to be generous. God wants you to be kind. God wants you to show mercy. God wants you to be good to people and show grace and to be kind whenever you can. Do you think God's not going to answer that prayer? You say to God tonight, if you fall on your face, say, God, I just want to be generous. I want to give out kindness. I want to sow meekness. I want to sow goodness. I want to be a blessing to others. God will answer that prayer. God will begin to cultivate that grace in your life that you can be a help and a blessing to others. Let's bow our heads tonight and close our eyes. And let's consider tonight if we truly are liberal in that sense of the word. I'm not talking just about our finances. I've been thankful and blessed that I have seen Bethel Baptist Church be a church of givers. We have a project that comes up, Bearing Precious Seed, or we have a need in Japan for the Roberts family or what have you. It just seems like folks pull out their pocketbooks and give. Well, let me ask you this. Are we world class when it comes to showing mercy? Are we world class when it comes to showing love? Given it shall be given unto you. pressed down, shaken together. Let's just ask God to help us tonight to be that kind of Christian we ought to be. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Instruments are playing. The altar is open if you'd like to pray. Let's stand this evening. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Pastor McDonald to come and close our service in prayer. Thank you so much for being here today. It's been a blessing to be in the Lord's house. Pastor McDonald, you give us some announcements.
Okay, today in our inserts of our bulletins, it said volunteers needed. This year we're going to be putting on some after-school clubs, and they're going to go through the whole year. They should be very exciting, and what makes them even better is if you're involved. We need volunteers. And so the Academy would really appreciate it. If you have, you take a look at some of the clubs that are listed here. If there's something that you have expertise in, please see Mrs. Judy Judge about that. You don't have to be committed to a long term. If you can show up for a few of the events, please do. So please see Judy about that. Also, right after we close in prayer this evening, there's a VBS Volunteers and Workers meeting over in the teenagers' room with Mr. Baker. Tomorrow morning, I just want to announce again for the teachers, we have that orientation meeting. It'll run all morning long, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. And so just be prepared for that. And also this Wednesday, because of VBS, we're not going to have a regular Wednesday night midweek prayer service. But you're all invited here anyway. They're going to have the children in here doing things. But adults, you're all invited to the service as well. It's just not going to be the regular prayer meeting that we're used to. All right. Well, yes. Oh, you want them out of the way, right? Okay, so if we can have some strong, brawny men, is that what you're looking for? Who can come up and move them, and you want to move to where? Inside the room, off to the side here. Okay, if we can get some volunteers right after prayer, just come on up here. Don't just jump up here and do it, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the message we heard tonight, Lord, about being a liberal Christian, Lord. Help us, Father, to give you our best. Help us to put our fears aside and trust in you and to see great things happen. I thank you so much for the years that you've been blessing this church and the church members and the families that are involved here. We just pray that you would continue on doing so. Help us to really get behind and support the efforts and the works that are going on in this church, realizing that by honoring you through the church, Lord, we ourselves are blessed. Now give us safety as we go our way. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.